I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kraken sweep the season series from the Buffalo Sabres. 7 goals against tonight for Buffalo. Not a good defensive effort as Buffalo scores 4, which is a repeating pattern here now. It's enough. That should be enough to win a hockey game, or at the very least still be playing in overtime right now. But the Sabres give up 7 the other way and fall by a 7-4 final. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center inside the press box, I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show. We'll be heading to the room in just a few moments. We'll get on the Zoom call here from the players as the Sabres drop this one tonight and drop their 14th game of the season. Now 8-11-3, and it hasn't been good lately. The Sabres have only won 3 times in their last 15 games. After a great start in which they went 5-1-1, Buffalo now 3-10-2 in their last 15. So we'll have player reaction coming up. Don Granato as well. Paul Hamilton's take all coming your way here as the Sabres drop another one here in a stretch that we thought maybe they could get something going, but Seattle has their number in just the 2 meetings this year. They scored 5 in Seattle back on November 4th and then 7 tonight, a 7 spot put up on the Sabres. And if you want to talk about goaltending and bad defense, like, this is a pattern now. It's not going away. Four times just this month, the Sabres have scored 4. You'd think that's a good thing. They lost all 4 of those games, and they lost all four of them in regulation. They lost to the Leafs 5-4 regulation. They lost to the Rangers 5-4 regulation. They lost to Columbus 7-4 regulation. They lost tonight to Seattle 7-4 regulation. You score 4 goals, that should be enough. At the very least, you should get a point. It should be enough to win on most nights in the NHL. But they have now done that 4 times in the past 3 weeks. In fact, I could say this now, 4 times in the last 16 days. So in terms of actual weeks, that's a 2-week span. Just a little more than 2 weeks. In 16 days, the Sabres have scored 4 times and have no points to show for it. If it's not evident right now that they're not getting great goaltending, and tonight, I would definitely say that, yes, Tokarski wasn't at his best, but my goodness, the defense in front of him was horrendous. It really was. It might have been their worst just entire defensive performance in front of their goalie this season. I mean, the 2 shorthanded goals are really bad. Those are the first 2 shorthanded goals ever in Seattle history. The first one, as Soucy gets a slap shot in the middle, a giveaway, nobody's near him, and then he just fires it in. And then the second one, Dahlin is just is a big mess on his own blue line and turns it over, and he gets outworked on his way to the net there. Tanev using his speed, Dahlin just couldn't push him out. And then he fired the rebound off of Dahlin and in. That put Buffalo down 2-0, and then McKinnon scored to make it 3-0 there right away. All right, we'll, again, be heading to the room here shortly. Also, Paul Hamilton's take. TJ, let me know when Paul is ready to go as the Sabres fall in this one 7-4. Final shot totals for the Sabres, 36. For Seattle, 31. Power plays in the game. Seattle put up 7, and they never even went on the power play. 0 of 0. I guess that's one thing Buffalo did well tonight. They stayed out of the box. And the Sabres went 1 of 4. 3 stars. Skinner for Buffalo with 2 goals. He was star number 3. Brandon Tanev, that is, for Seattle, star number 2. And Jared McCann, he had a couple of goals. He is star number 1. All right, we will get to highlights coming up here as well. And Paul Hamilton. Let's get you our highlights in, though, now. And they're brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. Starts off bad for Seattle, or starts off bad for Buffalo. Seattle shorthanded. It's Carson Soucy, his 3rd of the year, to put the Kraken on the board first.
Intercepted, a bad shot off the goalpost. They score! The giveaway as the puck came right back to Carson Soucy, who blasted it home, and a shorthanded goal put Seattle in the lead.
Soucy's 3rd from Yanni Gourde, 5:37 into the game, shorthanded, 1-0 Kraken. The next time Buffalo's on the power play, well, Seattle goes right back at it. Dahlin turns it over, and Tanev puts it home and puts Seattle up 2-0.
Thompson holding it in there. Thompson back after it again. Got it to the point, and then it's tipped out to center ice. And Dahlin trying to steal it away, but the Seattle Rock coming back again with a shot right on the rebound. And it's on the goal line, but it doesn't matter. It went into the net. And Seattle has scored another shorthanded goal.
14:40 into the game. Tanev's 8th unassisted as he puts Seattle up 2-0. And before the period ends, the boos start after this one. A rebound. Jared McCann is just all alone at the side of the net. He easily puts it in, and the Kraken go up by 3.
Back into the corner again. 1 minute to go here in the opening period. Back to the point. One shot taken there and cleared free, but now it takes another one. Came wide of the net, and they score on the rebound. And Seattle has really silenced the Buffalo fans with a 3-0 lead. Jared McCann.
McCann's 9th of the season, 19:04 mark of the first, 3-0, and that was, again, an easy one for McCann with nobody there. All right, we go to the second. Can Buffalo get back in it? It looks like early they can at least give us that appearance. 1:53 into period number 2. Brett Murray gets his first goal as a Saber.
3-on-2 break. In over the line, Oposo. Oposo took his shot. He cuts it wide. The rebound. They score.
So Murray gets his first of the year. He played it real nicely. Oposo's shot went off the back wall, and Murray was right on top, and it made it a 3-1 game. All right, we'll pick up with highlights in just a moment. We are ready to go to the Zoom call. Jeff Skinner is up first here live on the postgame. Let's hear from Skinner.
I want to start with Paul. And this one, how did this get away so quickly on you guys? It seemed like a different story than the game in Seattle. What was the difference in this one?
I just think, I don't know. I think in games, you got to recognize there's moments where there's pretty big swings, and you have to find a way to come out on the right side of some of those big moments. And I think for us tonight, we didn't do a great job. Obviously, we had a few power plays that didn't go as planned. And then I think we even had more opportunities to get it back there. And yeah, we definitely had opportunities. We just didn't seem to be able to sustain any type of momentum.
Jeff, are those shorthanded goals allowed? Are they just a result of letting your guard down for a second or two? Like, what are they a result of, I guess?
I mean, everyone's different. Obviously, sometimes it's a tough bounce. But yeah, obviously, we have one more guy out there, so we shouldn't be giving up goals. But then I think once that happens, you have to find a way to regroup and respond and move on. And I think at times it came with a push, and then they pushed back, and we just didn't come come with a response enough times.
Jeff, you're up to 8 goals for the season now. You're on pace for 26, one more than you had already all of last year. Just how much do you feel like a goal scorer again at times, and you feel dangerous out there, the feeling you couldn't find at times last year, most of the year?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, personally, it's last year was a challenging year, and obviously not how I would have liked to contribute to the team. You like to contribute to the team so you win. So, personally, it's nice to get going. Hopefully, we can keep going. I think as a line, we're playing pretty well. Tage made some pretty good plays down the middle. Got in on a forecheck there. I was able to get a rebound on the last one. But, yeah, I think part of my job is to generate offense and to capitalize on opportunities. And I'm going to try and keep doing it.
Jeff, do you guys have to be more conscious? It seemed like every time you guys scored a goal, you got no momentum off it, and then they would come right back and score on you guys. Do you have to be more conscious with those shifts after goals to grab the momentum instead of just, as I said, it just seemed like a momentum killer right away after you guys scored?
Yeah, I think those are the moments. Those are kind of the moments in games where it can be big swings, and we didn't come off the right side of those enough. I think there were times, obviously, on our power play goal, I thought that Murray Cousins up post the line did a great job drawing a penalty. We were able to get on the power play, then we capitalized on it. We can keep that momentum going. But for the most part, we didn't seem to be able to string back-to-back shifts together, and it didn't help us.
Jeff, this morning, Don talked about you guys not handling the pressure from Seattle very well the first meeting. What's your assessment of where this team was handling pressure tonight from them, especially early on when they were able to kind of get that barrage of goals on you guys those first couple of periods?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they play, right? They have a lot of pretty speedy forwards that get in on a forecheck, and they put a lot of pucks behind your D, and you have to find a way to execute coming out of our end. And that way we don't sort of spend time down there, and we're able to transition and go play in their end. But I think we handled it well at times, but obviously not enough for the most part. And I mean, they're not the only team that plays that style. I think it's a common style. We have to find ways to sort of negate that style and find a way to transition and get on offense from there.
Was that part of what led to those first two shorthanded goals? Was there pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think 5-on-5 penalty kills, it's kind of different systems a lot of times. But yeah, they come with pressure. They come down ice and they try and be disruptive. And they were able to capitalize, obviously, on two power plays for us, which is not a good thing. And we just need to respond and learn from it.
All right, thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, there's Sabre forward Jeff Skinner. He had a nice offensive night, 7th and 8th of the season. Had actually a chance early in the game too. He's up to 8 goals, more than last year. All right, a guy that got his first goal tonight is Brett Murray, and he is now making his way to the Sabres media room podium. Let's hear from Murray now live on the postgame show.
Brett, certainly you'd rather the goal had come in a win, but what was it like for you to, you know, work down low and see that puck go in the net?
It was a pretty special feeling. It's something that you work your whole life for it to finally happen is amazing. Even more amazing, I was able to have my entire family in the stands there. It makes it even more special.
But I was asking Jeff about this. How can you guys be better on the shifts after you guys score a goal. I mean, you scored that goal. You're not out of the game at that point. It's right at the beginning of the second period, but the team didn't get any momentum off of it. You gave up like 8 free shots after that. How do you start getting some momentum, like when you can maybe change the game around like that?
I think it's something we're just going to have to learn. I think there's momentum swings at all points of the game. You know, after they scored on us, we didn't want to shut down either. It's not like you get scored on and you go into hiding. And that's what they did. They came right back at us. And, you know, next game we're going to be prepared for that. We're going to learn from it and be better. So when we score a goal, we're going to take that momentum into our hands and use it.
Brett, your family was able to see you tonight. Is that true?
Yeah. It was my mom and dad, their first time at an NHL game. So.
And just, I mean, that makes it that much more special, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're the people that got me to where I am now, and to be able to share that moment with them, I'm really excited to see them after here.
Brett, Don was talking this morning about how he felt each time he's seen you, you've gotten better. You were better when you went back to Rochester this year. I mean, we've seen it since the prospect tournament in September. What do you credit your season to date with, the way you've been able to improve and make impact on games each time you're out there?
I think it's just learning every day. You know, I'm on a line with Kyle Okposo and Dylan Cousins. I mean, Okposo is someone I've looked up to for a long time. You know, he's been around the game and he's been really good at it. So just to be able to pick his brain every single time I come off the ice, whether it's the littlest things, a puck battle, the shooting lane, something like that, I'm always trying to get something from him. You know, Dylan Cousins is a special talent. Just being able to read and play with him is you know, helping me develop my own game. So it is, you know, just being able to take one thing, at least one thing, every single time I come to the rink, that I hope I could accredit, just getting better every day. So.
And Dylan Cousins grabbed the puck for you. Who's going to get it?
I think that one hopefully will stick with me. You know, there's a lot of people that probably deserve it, past coaches, family members, friends, that I could give that to, that probably deserve it just as much as me. But that one will stick with me for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Okay, Brett Murray, congratulations to him. He gets his first goal, and family in attendance makes it even more special. Very, very cool there. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you that are listening on WGR here in Buffalo, more postgame coming up, including Don Granato and Paul Hamilton and his takes on this Seattle 7-4 win over Buffalo. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. All right, welcome back to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel here on the postgame. You've heard from the players. We're going to hear from Don Granato in a moment following the 7-4 Seattle victory. We got through about half the highlights. We're going to finish them right now. It was a 4-1 Seattle lead late in the second period. That's where Jeff Skinner gets the first of his two on the power play as he banks it home in the crease.
Worked across ice. Here's Thompson to the other side. Now Dahlin gives it to Thompson. He blasted it right off the goaltender's arm. They score! That one banked in. From the back of the net, Jeff Skinner popped it home, and Buffalo has narrowed the margin to 4-2.
All right, so Skinner gets his seventh. Thompson and Dahlin assisting on the power play. In late second, you're thinking, okay, are the Sabres back in it? But guess what? Less than a minute later, Seattle gets the 3-goal lead right back. It's Appleton's first.
To the point it comes with a screenshot in the goal crease. They scramble. They score. Seattle comes back to make it a 3-goal lead once again. Mason Appleton.
He gets his first of the season. 5-2 Seattle. That ends up being the game winner. We'll call that the play of the game. Brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo at Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Go to the third. Is Buffalo back in it? Well, Jeff Skinner's trying. He gets his second of the night just 37 seconds into period three.
Into the corner, intercepted by the Sabres. And a quick shot right on the rebound. They score! Jeff Skinner, his second of the night. As pretty as you please. And it's a two-goal game once again.
Skinner, his second of the night, eighth of the season. He's got more goals now than he did all of last year with eight. Olofsson the assist on a nice play to set him up. 5-3 Seattle. Schwartz, though, later makes it 6-3. Cousins in the final minutes, kind of a garbage time goal, 6-4. Seattle's empty netter makes it 7-4. Those are your highlights, and that's your final, 7-4. We are ready to hear from Sabres head coach Don Granato. Let's go now live.
Soft performance right from the shorthanded goals, the plays on the wall, the drop coverages. Just how perplexed are you by the collective defensive effort in that game?
Well, I wasn't happy about it, Mike. I mean, you watch it. There were some good things in the game, but we didn't have the sense of urgency to start with respect to details. That was obvious. We allowed too much too easy, and then fought obviously, you know, the rest of the way as a result. You know, you mentioned it. The first two goals of the game, we were shorthanded. We're on a power play, so not by design, obviously. So tough there. But I did feel, you know, if you want to sum it up, just we didn't have enough urgency, enough attention to details. The details of our game weren't there. So, you know, obviously we'll draw from that, whether that be, you know, the schedule, the way it has been. It'd be an easy one for us now to show on video that we lack that urgency.
On this morning, when you talked with us, you said that last time around when you faced this team, the pressure got to you guys, or at least their pressure got to you. And that was the thing you were trying to do, see better from them this time. Did they play better with that, or did they handle the pressure better tonight, or were those first two goals in part, and those early goals in part because of the fact that Seattle was constantly pressuring you guys?
Yeah, I don't think the pressure was an issue today. I think it was exactly what I had just said. We did not have enough urgency at the outset in the details. Just reviewing goals against, watching goals against from the bench, watching a little bit of clips even in between periods or after the game. Lots of little details that have we slipped on tonight that, again, you know, maybe it's we've played so many games in such a short time and haven't had a lot of practice time, and, you know, the details slip. So, but it was, you know, we're I would say an evolving team, a younger team, and this was a lot of growing pains, I believe. Obviously pains when you lose, but this to me was more of a growing pain feel to it.
This is Jeff Skinner's best stretch in a couple of years. He's already surpassed last year's goal total. Just like what's changed about him even in these, you know, past week or two where he's reaching that next level that he's shown in the past?
Well, you know, I will revert to what I said at the start of the year before he even started scoring. He's doing all the right things to lead to scoring. And I said that I was 100% confident that would happen and that would be the result. He stayed on it. You know, it's easy for me to say that, but you got to stay on it. And every day that routine is to be there for practice and game prep. And he's done that. He stayed on it. All his habits point to the fact that he's going to be productive. And that's why I've kept him with Thompson, and Thompson's been the same. So that's been a real bright spot. You know, I thought that line was real good tonight. I thought Dylan Cousins was good tonight. Brett Murray was good tonight. We just didn't have enough guys playing good. And guys, it just absolutely didn't look like themselves. But for Skinner, you know, this is a new normal for him, I believe, because of the work and habits he's putting in.
Don, as you watched the game, and especially after the Murray goal, that kind of got you back into it early in the second period. It's 3-1. Why do you feel that you didn't gain a lot of momentum off goals that you scored?
You know, I don't know, Paul, when we had goalposts and other chances when they fell in there. But, you know, we did have plenty more chances. But it was, you know, as Mike mentioned, it was the whole feel of the game. You know, you start the game that way, and it sets a tone, unfortunately, not a good tone. And then you're trying to catch up. But I felt honestly that, you know, we had some guys that played really well, as I mentioned, Cousins' line and Thompson's line, a lot more good than bad out of them. And, you know, the other two lines were a little challenged, and we were challenged defensively with a couple guys on the back end that just absolutely didn't look like themselves. And I say growing pains, you know, when a more experienced player doesn't feel things aren't working well for them, they know how to adjust their game and they acclimate. Okay, I don't have my legs today, or I don't have energy today. I know how to play a different style of game and get through this. And I think when I say growing pains, I think, you know, we had some guys that needed to make some adjustments to their game. And when things didn't work out, they pressed more. And that is never the recipe at that point. So that really caught up to us in the end for me, Paul. I think, again, a group of guys played well and some others struggled.
Is Jacob Bryson hurt, or did you just want to make a change?
No, he is. He wasn't didn't want to put him in a spot. He's dealing with something nagging, and didn't want to put him in a spot where it could make it worse. I do expect him ready for Thursday.
Hey, thank you, Don.
Hey, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato. You heard right at the end there on why Bryson was a late scratch. He says he's dealing with what he says is a nagging injury. He didn't say what the injury was, but called it a nagging injury, but says he expects him to be ready for Thursday, which is in Florida against the Panthers. That's your injury report brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Okay, let's get Paul Hamilton in here quick for a couple thoughts. Paul, that was right up there with the worst defensive outings of the season. I know when it's fresh and it's in front of us, we like to say it's the worst, but I don't know if I have one that I can remember that was worse. That was pretty bad in front of their own net tonight.
Yeah, there were times that I had mentioned earlier where they were just standing around. I mean, you had four guys gliding, just standing there for one goal that was, you know, wide open in front of the net. When Joki Haru had made a poor play in the corner on Geeky, and Geeky was allowed to make a one-handed pass easily out to McCann, as the Sabres were just gliding. There was just nothing. And that's not what you normally see out of this team. Even when they lose, you know, you see effort and that type of thing. But, you know, those are some of the types of thing. Now, they didn't give up. They did keep coming as far as scoring goals and that type of thing. But that was the other thing, too. You score a goal and you lose your momentum. And, you know, they couldn't put two together. They'd score a goal and then the next few shifts weren't that good. And next thing you know, it's in their net. And it's like, well, okay, you just lost all the momentum of the goal you scored. And then you score another goal and do the same thing. And once again, it's in your net. And that's just, you know, concentration. And it just wasn't good enough from enough guys to get an effort out of there.
Paul, this is now the fourth time in the last 16 days that the Sabres have scored four goals and have no points to show for it. Mm-hmm. Toronto, Rangers, Columbus, Seattle. They've scored four in all those and have no points. If you score four, I mean, I don't have to tell you this. If you score four, the worst case should be at least that you're getting a point in that game.
But yeah, it's inconsistent goaltending. It's part of it. Inconsistent play from defensively by the team. And when I say inconsistent goaltending, I mean, look at what Tokarski did. He put together 160 really good minutes, you know, over the weekend and against Boston. Well, I don't think you would consider tonight a really good game by Tokarski or his teammates. I mean, he was hung out to dry a bunch of times. There were times that he might have been able to make a save. You know, so, you know, he wasn't at his best, and the team wasn't his best in front of him. Again, some of the goals that we described, they're just wide open, nobody around. You know, a couple of big rebounds that went in, that got by him. So a lot of what you're talking about is inconsistent goaltending, where sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But, you know, in the end, you have to realize when the goaltending was thought of before training camp started, these two were probably ticketed for Rochester. They were thinking that Lukanen was probably, you know, he had done better than they thought the year before. They thought he was going to come in and grab it, and then he and Anderson would be the goaltenders, and then Tokarski and Dell would be the goaltenders down in Rochester. Everybody keeps talking about how Adams blew the goaltending. Everybody keeps forgetting the number one goaltender is injured. He's not out there. And they were thinking that Lukanen probably was going to take it, you know, take the job, and the two of them were going to be the tandem. And Tokarski played really, really well in training camp and won the job, rightfully so. But, you know, there are times he's going to be really, really good, and there are other times where he's not. And Dell just doesn't seem like, you know, an NHL goalie anymore. He looks like he's hit his peak, and he's 32 years old, and it's just not going for him anymore. So, you know, who knows when Anderson's going to get back, but they desperately need him.
One positive tonight, Paul. Jeff Skinner up to 8 goals now in the season, more than he had last year. John Granato just said he thinks that Skinner's offense is his new normal. He's crediting his work ethic and habits and practice. You obviously get to see most of the practices too. What are you seeing that's different in Skinner this year that maybe hasn't happened the last couple of years?
Well, one of the things, he's getting opportunities, but he's converting the opportunities too. Scoring Jeff Skinner type of goals. He scores goals hitting pucks out of the air and banking them in off guys. You know, that's the kind of goal that he's known for, because he's got a mind that thinks that way. He'll see that, you know what, if I bank it off the goaltender here, I can get a goal off of this, and he understands how to play that and what to do with that. For two straight seasons, he would get chances, and he'd shoot wide, he'd get stopped. It just wasn't going in for him. I also think he's in better shape this year. He looks like he's smaller. And also, it's not only on offense. I've seen him at times get back pretty well on the back check and help that way. Now, there have been other times where the defense is head shaking, but it's been better, let me put it that way. And I think he's meshed very good with Tage Thompson. I think they've helped each other. And especially recently, you know, in the last week or so, I've really liked Skinner on the forecheck. You know, I've liked how he's gotten in there and gotten his nose dirty, and he competes for pucks. And it's led to some goals.
Okay, Paul, road trip now for the Sabres. They go to Florida Thursday, Carolina Saturday. Those are two very good teams that are off to great starts in the standings. So Sabres obviously have their work cut out for them in those two games.
Yeah, absolutely. You're playing two of the best teams in the National Hockey League on the road, and the Sabres, if you look historically, have not played well in Carolina for a long, long time. So that's, you know, they're going to try to break that streak. But those are two teams that you can't have an effort like you had in this game, because it certainly is not going to work out for you at all. But they've got some time now to have a couple of practices, get themselves down to Florida, get themselves ready, and see what they can do with two of the best teams in the National Hockey League.
Paul, thanks for your work tonight. And we will chat on Thursday with the Sabres in Florida.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, Paul Hamilton there. 7-4 the final, Seattle over Buffalo. Only one game going on now in the league. Pittsburgh and Calgary, they're scoreless. Shocking. What, Calgary shutting out their team, their opponent? Hey, as I say this, the Flames have scored, so it's 1-0 now, Calgary. Only two other finals, Arizona over Winnipeg 1-0, and Vancouver beat Montreal 2-1. Monday Night Football, 17-9 Washington over Seattle, third quarter. All right, our final here, 7-4 Seattle. The Kraken put a touchdown up on the Sabres here tonight. All right, we will say goodbye to you at this point. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Pat Molicaro and Paul Hamilton here at KeyBank Center. Thank you, gentlemen. Show up on the Bulldog on the pregame show, and for Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray, My name is Brian Colzio. Thank you for listening. Kraken win it 7-4 over the Sabres. We'll talk to you on Thursday night with Buffalo and South Florida against the Panthers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.